Hey ladies, I hope you're having an awesome week and I'm so glad you're here. Today's episode is gonna really just shine a little light on our memories, how we recall them, trauma, really what that is and what that means, and just really hopefully it feels very validating for you so that you can recognize that it's okay exactly where you are. And we're going to talk about the fact that sometimes we don't remember parts of our childhood and doesn't mean that there's anything wrong or bad. It's just the reality of how we process memories. So I hope that you find this interesting. I hope you find maybe some new awareness for yourself inside this episode. And if you're new to me, hello. It's been a while since I've just kind of said, hey, and who am I? And I've found some new friends that have been coming onto the podcast and shooting over emails and saying, hey, I found your podcast. I love it. So thank you for that. And I'm just a girl in South Carolina who loves Jesus and am doing the best I can and making the best choices I can based on the information I have in life and growing and healing. And I'm almost in August, I cannot believe this, 6 years alcohol-free. And my journey started a long, long time ago when I recognized many years ago that I did not have a healthy relationship with alcohol. I used it to cope with stress. I used it to help with any sort of discomfort inside of relationships, whether I felt anxious about something or was scared to use my voice, or I used it for fun. I thought that I needed it to be able to play cornhole and go out and be social and all the things. And what I realized is that alcohol was just everywhere around me. It was in our conditioning of the world and it's just part of culture. And it actually worked until it didn't work for me anymore. And it became a stronghold. It started affecting my thoughts about myself and who I was. And not even really recognizing who I was and the choices I was making and my relationship with the Lord and just feeling lots of things, but not being able to really discover them. And I used it for avoiding a lot of the times, just avoiding how I felt, avoiding circumstances until I decided to surrender fully and take it day by day and learn about myself, learn new ways to cope, learn new ways to heal, and learn how to use my voice, and really learn about Michelle and who is she, and who has God created her to be. And she realized that version of her was not who he wanted. And I've been taking it day by day ever since, growing. I hired my own personal coach, did some deep diving. Since then, I've gone through 3 moves, a separation and a divorce, and now I'm in a healthy, loving relationship with an amazing man, and life is good. Stuff still happens. It's tough raising kids. It's tough when you've had a divorce, because there's always fallout from that. There, because of the sin, it affects people and their actions. It affects the distance in the family members. And also, life can be difficult, whether it's job related or kid related. But here's what I know to be true, that because I have removed alcohol, I am clear. And because I've really gone deep, I've healed a lot of old wounds. I've looked up a lot of beliefs that I believe that just wasn't true about myself, wasn't true about the people around me. And I've been able to just learn how to regulate my emotions, to feel safe inside my body. When stuff comes up, do I still get nervous? Do I still get anxious? Do I still feel like sick and discomfort and uncomfortable? Absolutely. Because I'm human and we're all designed to feel that. But here's what I don't do. I don't ignore it and I don't run from it. How about that? Sitting here saying that, I'm recognizing, oh my goodness, that is the beauty of this journey. Learning to feel, learning to be safe in your body, and learning to express your emotions, understand your emotions, just have them without judgment and shame, and then learning to get clear and get free so that you can take action. Whether it's, hey, I need to have a conversation with a friend because they hurt me. Or, hey, I need to really go apologize and lean into something about my behavior. Or, hey, I need to get on this stage and this is really, really scary, but I felt really led to teach or to do whatever it is that we need to do and realize that the discomfort is just part of the human process. So there's a little highlight about me. Welcome. And I'm glad you're here. And if you ever want to know more about me, just keep listening because I'm very open in this space. You are my people. You're my women that I love, even though thousands of you I will never, ever meet. And I hope that the ones of you that know you need support, you'll reach out and you'll say, hey, something about what you said really connected with me, Michelle, and I'm ready to get some support because that's what I do. I sit with you one-on-one and I guide you and lead you and I hold your hand and I give you a safe space inside of our weekly meetings to process and express, learn about yourself. I'll help you learn about this episode today. There's a lot of stuff we're going to talk about in here about childhood stuff that may come up throughout coaching, but the beauty of it is when it comes up, it's time to be healed. So I love you. I'm not going to keep going. I hope this gives you a little bit of taste of me and my personality. And there is so much more. And the one thing I want from you is I want you to be completely set free from what's holding you back from being the woman God has designed you to be. Enjoy the episode, ladies. Hey, sister, are you newly alcohol free, but you've been hanging on for dear life, hoping you don't fall backward? Or maybe you're still stuck in the cycle of overdrinking even when you told yourself you would stop, waking up each day with thoughts of self-loathing? Is your anxiety through the roof so much that you wake up at 3 a.m. with your heart racing and negative thoughts about yourself? You hide it so well, not many people know. Girl, I get you and I see you. I'm Michelle Porterfield and for so many years I experienced all of this. Here's the deal, quitting drinking's just the first step. I believe that's why it can be so scary. We know deep down it's more. Once we see what's underneath all the covering up, true freedom is found, and I'm here to help you do just that. So whether you're newly alcohol free or just sober curious, there is freedom on the other side. I can't wait to help you ditch the wine witch or help you find your mindset breakthrough and reignite your purpose after alcohol. Girlfriend, you are in the right place. Welcome to Set Free Sisterhood. Okay, first, let me validate you. It is not uncommon to be missing parts of your memories in childhood. The brain is amazing, and sometimes it decides that certain information just isn't always important. And I believe other times it's protecting you. And depending on where you are in your healing journey, some memories just won't come up. And here's what's true too. You don't ever, ever, ever have to go back and quote unquote relive things. So if that's a fear of yours when we talk about coaching or therapy and dealing with trauma, if you feel like, oh my gosh, I don't want to have to go back and get in that memory and feel those feelings again, it's not about that. Because you're safe now, you're an adult, but it is about just kind of rising above it and learning from it and seeing how you can nurture that inner part of you. And that goes into obviously a deeper conversation and very private conversation, but that's what I really wanted to validate right now for you, that all of this is okay, no matter where you are on the spectrum of, oh gosh, I think I should be remembering my childhood memories, what's wrong with me? You know, this kind of, I've come across some clients that are a little bit embarrassed about that. And I just want to let you know that it is okay where you are. So first, let's just define trauma before we do anything else. Because the good news is we're talking about it more now. We being the collective of therapists, coaches, teachers, preachers, the word trauma is being used more. And I don't want it to get diluted that it's not a big deal and it's not something that we need to address or that we need to just flippantly go, oh yeah, I got trauma, or no, I don't have trauma. It's not about that. So trauma is when we experience something that's stressful, frightening, or distressing, and it's difficult to cope with or out of our control. Now, raise your hand if that's you. Everyone, that's you, because we've all, if you're a grown up, which I'm sure you are listening to this, we have all had trauma in different ways. And sometimes some are what we want to judge and label as bigger ones. But at the end of the day, trauma is affected all of us. And what happens is we typically, when this experience happens when we're younger, there's a story that our little selves tell themselves. So if something happens that when I'm six and it was very stressful, it was very frightening, it was very distressing, I didn't know how to cope at six, I felt very out of control at six, then my six-year-old self would have said, blank is dangerous. You know, they don't love me. I'm not important. I have to be a good girl. I don't want to make them mad. Something's wrong with me. I'm broken, right? All of these stories that are our protectors, because if we say, okay, if this doesn't feel safe, so I need to act like this instead to feel safe, then I'm going to do that. And that's when we create our identities. That's when we create these parts of us who are beginning to lead us throughout our lives to protect us. So if maybe you had a very maybe it wasn't physically violent, but maybe you had a very loud home where your parents argued a lot of times, maybe even siblings argued, and you decided that when people raise their voices, it's scary and this is not safe. So you've decided that you're going to repress your anger and not ever get mad and not ever raise your voice, which from the outside, that looks good, right? Like, oh, isn't that great that you're able to take control? But what happens is you're abandoning yourself and not really believing and understanding that we all have human emotions and they can be used in a safe way. Not that you're going to yell inside your relationship, but here's what happens. You're highly triggered when you hear people yell. So let's say you get in a relationship and your partner is a bit of a yeller. You don't feel safe. So what happens when you don't feel safe? You don't use your voice. You choose to stay quiet. And then you've broken, both of you have, if it's a marriage relationship, this level of intimacy just because of your beliefs and then obviously this person and how they were brought up. So I just wanted to give you a broad frame of what that is and what that looks like and what I mean by trauma, right? And there's many, many more levels. I have had clients express to me some extremely physical abuse that they've dealt with in their lives. Absolutely trauma. And understanding that, you know, there again, they were young and they made that mean something about them, like they deserved it or they earned it, or men are dangerous, all men are unsafe. And while we know when we say that all men are not unsafe, some of you might actually have that belief right now. If this is you, I would love to help you and support you and recognize that that makes sense. If that little girl, her exposure to men was something abusive, then no, that's not safe. And so she's going to protect herself her entire life. And maybe that's you. And maybe you've just had relationship after relationship, and maybe they've never really stuck because you never allowed that trust there because you always had this fear that they're not safe. And you're wondering, why can't I have a healthy, loving relationship? I'm looking all around me, or I'm hearing stories like, why can't I have this? And it could be because of the belief that you have, and it could be because of some healing that needs to take place so that you truly become this available woman who is able to heal this and learn which men are safe and which men are not safe, because it's both. Okay. So I also want to talk about how the brain learns. So we learn in different ways. Three ways mainly are deletion, distortion, and generalizing. So you all probably know what generalizing is. That's when you your eye catches something like a something on the floor and you automatically think it's a spider and it's a piece of black fuzz, right? So your brain is just, it ain't got time for that, basically is what it's trying to say. So it's going to generalize some things. Deletion is one. So I want to read a little bit of this out of even my certification program so I can get it word for word of what deletion does, because this is sometimes what happens with our brain too, and it can relate to memories as well. Deletion is the process of leaving bits of information out. We omit and conveniently forget information, especially when it's unremarkable or when it conflicts with an existing frame of reference. All this deleting is born of a survival mechanism that budgets precious attention to those things that will help us live longer, live safer, live better, and have more. Okay? So what I believe that to mean is that it's just like a filing system in your brain where it just thought, go, boop, this is important, boop, this isn't important. And the brain is really primarily focused on, okay, how can I conserve energy for this human? How can this human stay safe? And how can she have more and more and seek pleasure? Okay. So part of that too is sometimes our brain just decides this isn't important. We're going to delete this out. However, too, I have found that there have been memories that have popped up for me just completely out of the blue when I was in sort of a state of relaxation. Now that I have been going through this, that have been like, wow, that was totally gone. So I also believe that it's there too, right? Deletion sometimes is more of like a learning process. You know, you can be listening to a podcast or learning some sort of information and your brain will just naturally like delete words out, especially your fors and ands and things like that. That's part of this process too. Okay. So I do want to mention something to you that you may be interested in. There is a test. If you haven't heard of this, it's called the ACE test. It is called the Adverse Childhood Experience. That's what ACE stands for. And it's a measure of traumatic experiences that examines the relationship between adverse childhood experiences and adult health and social outcomes. Why is this important? Well, because when you have a higher score, it indicates a higher risk of health problems in your life. Okay? So based on the studies, what happens is if you have a higher score, it can be directly linked to issues like depression, alcohol dependence, and tendency towards drugs, and, you know, what I call coping or dependence, basically, right? Now, this is like any other guideline. It just doesn't mean that this will happen if you have a higher score. But I believe it's very, very helpful. A lot of therapists use this with child therapy. I actually did one of these on my son a few years after we got him when I started learning about this, and was very amazed at the number based on what I even knew of his story. And you know, he's adopted. If you don't, my son's adopted. He was inside of a home of neglect. His biological mom was a drug. She was addicted to drugs and they were selling them and using them and went to jail. And this had been going on for a while. And he had been in DSS custody at least twice in his childhood. He'd been in three or four foster homes. And it's a beautiful story of God just divinely marking us for this is basically what this is. So anyway, I got him when he was 5 and he's now almost 14 and he is a handsome, wonderful young man. And I am not, stupid or not allowing myself to be naive to say that I know that I know that I know there's some childhood stuff there that I'm always going to need to be aware of for him. And there's conversations that we have that I don't have with my others. And there's just some awarenesses for him that I constantly bring up. that I want to help him through his life because of what he experienced it when he was younger. Neglect, you know, being around drugs. There was a lot of fear. So I know that this test is very, very accurate, is really what I'm trying to say for you. And I just want you to have awareness for it, because maybe you're someone right now listening to this podcast and you're like, I've tried all these things and I'm still over drinking. I've got these behaviors that I keep going to, and I haven't addressed my childhood trauma. Maybe you came from a home like that. Maybe you came from extreme neglect, drug abuse, physical abuse, and you've just kind of like known it, but you haven't allowed yourself to process and heal it and be a new woman now. And it's really hard to language what this looks like. It is a journey. That's just what it is, okay? And I just wanted y'all to know about this so that if you have anything like this in your past, it might be beneficial for you to Google it and download the PDF and take it and just see what your score is to give you some new awareness. That's just to help you connect the dots. Because here's what the deal is when we know things and we have dots connected and awarenesses, guess what happens? We get to do some growth and healing around that. We actually have new information that will allow us to move forward. Okay? So when we're talking about repressed memory, this is the last thing I'm really going to cover. It occurs when trauma is too severe to be kept in the conscious memory and is removed by repression or disassociation or both. So these are some of those things where you may know, like, yes, this is me. I have repressed memories. And this actually tells you, I actually looked up, how do I know if I have repressed memories? And it says, while some are unable to recall a small period of time, others are missing entire years of their life. Along with memory loss, other signs of repressed trauma can include low self-esteem, substance abuse disorders, increased physical or mental illness, and interpersonal problems. So you may recognize that too. I have worked with people like that have a lot of these signs, and they did have a lot of childhood trauma to where there are certain blocks of time, or maybe it's too scary to see it. And I just want you to know that, once again, it's all okay. And there are different therapists, coaches, healers that can help through this. And at the end of the day, if it's not coming up for you right now, then it's just not time. And you maybe haven't had the safe space for it. What I can tell you that I know to be true is this journey is not meant to do alone at all, whether you're doing it, you know, inside of a therapist's office or inside of a coaching session with me, whether you go to your church and sit down with somebody you trust, a pastor, leader, teacher, maybe you have a biblical counseling department like our church has, whatever this looks like, you need to connect with someone safe so that you can work through it and just know it's okay. And here's what I also know to be true is that your body, no matter if your brain can remember the details and the stories, your body does. So if you're struggling and every time you think about moments when you were a kid or stories about your father or your mother, your body, it knows. And so your body will tell you, hey, I'm feeling blank. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling fear. And so it will help you and give you insight to know that there's something there that needs to be addressed. And just recognizing like, oh, that's what happens when I'm in a loud room. My body's telling me, you know, you get into fight or flight or you get into fawn. And all of these are indicators that there's some healing that needs to be done. And you may be, depending on where you are on your journey, if you're continuing to drink and you're continuing to stuff your emotions, you may have some serious stuff going on in your health. You may have some autoimmune diseases. Your labs could be really bad. Your liver could be really bad. There could be all kinds of stuff going on. And where, yes, I do know that there are medical conditions, I am also 100% in belief that so much of our emotional trauma affects our physical body as well. So if you want to start there, then I would say you're in the right place. Okay. So I love you. I hope that this maybe opened up some awarenesses for you. If you want to go Google, just Google ACE test, kind of see where you are on that. And even if you don't really know, like, well, nothing really bad happened to me, do it anyway. I even did one on myself because we're all human and you might be surprised just to see like, oh yeah, that did happen. So yeah, I hope this helps. I love you. I'm grateful for you. And you can message me anytime. Just shoot me an email, michelle@setfreesisterhood.com. Until next time, stay blessed. Hey friend, before you go, I want to make sure that you know about the free masterclass that is available for you. It's the 5 steps to help you stop overdrinking without stress and overwhelm. Download it for free today at setfreesisterhood.com/masterclass. I would love for you to come join the Facebook community too. I will put the link in the show notes. And if you're ready to see what support would look like so that you could start walking out your future of being alcohol-free and stepping into the woman who God is calling you to be, email me at michelle@setfreesisterhood.com. Until next time, stay blessed.